Hello, and thanks for joining this session about Proxy SQL Cluster, where we will discuss the challenges and solutions to synchronize config across multiple decentralized cluster nodes. Quick introduction, my name is Enek Annaum. I have been a DBA for most of my career, so I have been a DBA for a bit more than two decades. I started writing Proxy SQL, the software, back in 2013. And in 2016, the company with the same name was formed in order to provide service about Proxy SQL, the product, including support, consultancy, and development. Now, what is Proxy SQL? Because the topic of this session, it is about Proxy SQL cluster capability, I will not invest a lot of time in explaining what Proxy SQL is, and I will only mention it is a reverse proxy that understands the MySQL protocol. Client can connect to Proxy SQL. This will evaluate the request from the client and perform some value action, like transforming the request itself, filtering, and if the request has to be executed, this is not always the case, it will determine where. As mentioned, I won't go into details about the feature of Proxy SQL, but I recommend to visit our website for more information. Once we understand what Proxy SQL is, one of the most common questions is where to deploy it. Because it uses the MySQL protocol on both ends of the wire, clients and backend side, it can be deployed anywhere between the two, and each type of deployment has benefit and drawback. And I will go through a quick overview of them. So, the first deployment is app server deployment. In this very common deployment where Proxy SQL is installed alongside the application. This deployment has benefit but also drawback. Some of them listed here in the site itself. Relevant to our topic today is about configuration management. If Proxy SQL is deployed alongside each application server, you need a way to keep those configurations aligned to each other and consistent. Then we have Proxy SQL layer deployment. And setup application server connect to a single Proxy SQL instance. On this case, there are benefits and drawbacks. What is important to point out is that in this specific scenario, it is extremely rare because it doesn't provide any sort of high availability. Therefore, the middle layer is normally composed with more than one instance with some sort of HA. And of course, the details of the HA is out of the scope of this session, and I will skip it for now. In the setup, the configuration is very simple. There is just one single node to configure. But we can also have a way more complex setup, like this form of cascading setup where Proxy SQL instances are installed both on the application server and as a middle layer. We also have more complex setup where Proxy SQL instances are installed on the application server and on the database server, and on a middle layer and the database server. So really it can be on any layer. But no matter how you create this complex setup, it is clear that configuring it properly becomes more challenging than the previous setup because there are way more instances and different layers. In all the setup we show so far, we basically we're basically facing a distributed system where you have multiple Proxy SQL instances, possibly with different roles and different needs. That needs different configuration, that communicate and need to coordinate with each other to achieve a common goal. The reason why we rely on distributed system is to be able to achieve scalability and redundancy. In fact, the number of instances can scale up or down based on the amount of traffic it needs to serve, and we need to avoid a single point of failure. Any node can fail at any time, and the system should be continuing working without downtime. So the next question is how to configure distributed management system. And it is here where configuration management becomes relevant. Configuration management are processes that maintain system, in our case, a distributed setup of Proxy SQL instance, in a state that is desired, consistent, and according to requirement. In other words, it needs to ensure that the various instances that need to perform specific action and performs in a certain way are configured in the way we want them to perform, and their configuration must be consistent with each other. Now, question is, there are configuration management systems? Yes, there are plenty that already support Proxy SQL. For example, we have Ansible. Probably many of you are already familiar with Ansible. This is a pretty popular configuration management tool, and thanks to community effort, it supports Proxy SQL. It has several modules and each of these is able to configure different module of Proxy SQL. The fact that there is so many modules is also an evidence that Proxy SQL itself is extremely configurable. Next, in poor alphabetical order, we have Chef. another very popular configuration management tool that supports Proxy SQL thanks to Ostwell community effort. Finally, we have Puppet that is also support Proxy SQL thanks to community effort. And according to the number of downloads, it seems that is the most popular among the configuration management tools listed so far. But the story doesn't end with configuration management tool. In fact, it is very common to have Proxy SQL install instance being configured through the use of network configuration and discovery services like console. How does it work here? A little console server receives a configuration that is then propagated to other consoles and other console servers, and ultimately they will reach to console client. Upon receiving a new configuration, a console client can be configured to connect a Proxy SQL instance that is open locally, and to issue a series of commands to reconfigure it. This means that discovery services like console can be repurposed to be a configuration management tool. Without going into many details, the same can be said about other discovery services like Zookeeper. Both console and Zookeeper are pretty popular solutions often used to reconfigure Proxy SQL. Finally, we have Proxy SQL Cluster. This is our own implementation of configuration management and is native to Proxy SQL itself. This is very important. It means it doesn't rely on any external configuration management tool. In fact, the main idea is that you can configure a cluster of Proxy SQL instances and reconfigure them in real time without the need of any external dependency. This doesn't mean that you should not use configuration management tools, but it gives you the freedom to not rely on any of them. Furthermore, it has an interesting advantage compared to configuration management tools. When a new version of Proxy SQL is released, native Proxy SQL Cluster will support any new specific features or extension that was introduced. By contrast, if you're using a configuration management tool, it might work for a specific version of Proxy SQL and not for another version, or it might not support new features for a long time. Finally, it allows a great deal of other enhancements, but I will go into details later. What is able to synchronize? So currently it's able to synchronize MySQL users, MySQL server, and the various MySQL cluster configuration. So if you're using a standard MySQL asynchronous replication, or if you're using group replication, Galera, AWS, and so on. It is also able to synchronize MySQL query rules, and is able to synchronize the list of Proxy SQL nodes that are part of the cluster, and also MySQL variables, LDAP variables, and MySQL variables. Each of them is considered a configuration module and can be enabled or disabled independently from the other. For example, you might want to configure only the synchronization of MySQL users and query rules, but you don't want to synchronize the MySQL server because, for example, you want to use console or Zookeeper for that. Those are real case scenarios. In a nutshell, the way Proxy SQL Cluster works is the following. So you have various Proxy SQL nodes that connect to a single instance that is configured, that is considered the configuration source of truth. When any configuration is changed in the specific instance, the other will detect it and will pull the configuration from it. Okay, many of you probably are already pointing fingers to a pretty evident drawback of these scenarios. Basically, there is just one single point of failure, that is the Proxy SQL instance that has the configuration. So let's extend the topology and remove the single point of failure. In here, in this diagram, we have four Proxy SQL cluster nodes and each instance is monitoring each other. So basically, each four are always monitoring all the others. As soon as they detect that a node has a new configuration, they will all pull the new configuration from it. What is important to note from this setup is that currently there is no leader, although we plan this for the future. Synchronization is time-based. Each configuration has an epoch associated to it, and the newer configuration is the one propagated. It's also worth to reiterate what I already mentioned a few times. Node checks each other at regular interval and they pull the configuration, so there is no actually push of configuration. Okay, how to configure Proxy SQL cluster? Well, first of all, as you know, Proxy SQL, well, the configuration is visible in a tabular format, and Proxy SQL cluster is no exception. So, first of all, PROXYSQL knows which instance they need to monitor because they're configured in a table called PROXYSQL Server. The table is pretty simple, as you can see here. There is the hostname and the port of the instance, the weight that is currently not used, and the comment. Please note that this table itself is replicated by cluster. So if a PROXYSQL instance is configured with just one PROXYSQL node in PROXYSQL Server, it is able to connect to it and pull the whole list of PROXYSQL Server that are part of the cluster. So it will automatically auto-discover the rest of the cluster. Then we have a lot of variables related to cluster. Here I'm only displaying a subset of the variables that are most relevant to this talk. First of all, we need a pair of username and password. Those are the credentials that will be used to connect to the other instance, to the admin interface specifically. Then we have a check interval that defines how often the various configurations are checked. Then, for each module, we have a counter that defines for how many checks the configuration needs to be different from its own configuration before retriggering synchronization. It is important to know that if any of those variables is zero, the configuration for that specific module is disabled. Great, let's see this in action. So we have another table, it's called StatProxySQL Server Checksum. And in this table, we can see a series of information for each PROXYSQL instance and for each module. There is really a lot of information here. So now I will actually zoom in and see just one specific module, the MySQL Server. Great. So here we can see again that the information is available for each cluster instance, and we are able to connect. For each configuration, we can see the version, epoch, the checksum of the configuration itself, where the specific server got the configuration, and the last time this information was refreshed. Finally, if the remote configuration is different than the local one, we count for how many checks the configuration was different. Now, let's dive into this. To dive into this output, we need to start from the checksum. This is the checksum of the configuration itself, and when nodes monitoring each other, they simply monitor that value. Basically, nodes are exchanging heartbeat with checksum at regular interval. This drastically reduces bandwidth and computation because there is not much data is being exchanged. And to verify that the configuration has changed or not, we only need to verify the checksum. Also, because they are basically exchanging heartbeat, each PROXYSQL node is able to detect failure. So if a node disappears, this is a perfect way of detecting this. Epoch is pretty self-explanatory. Version is a very interesting metric. Every time a configuration is loaded to runtime, no matter from where, the version is increased by one. Monitoring version, we can detect if any node is loading configuration too frequently or not loading it at all. But it can also tell us something important. If version dropped to one, it means that the node was restarted. So when it loads from disk, it's the first time it is loading the configuration, so its version becomes one. Great. So restarting a node creates an interesting problem. What if you have a cluster running for a very long time with a configuration that isn't changed for weeks, and then a node is restarted? And probably is restarted with a different configuration. So for example, a server is completely redeployed with absolutely no configuration. The restart node will have a different checksum, but a newer epoch. In theory, all nodes should consider it as the newer configuration and sync from it. In reality, this doesn't happen, we prevent it. The reason behind it is that the restarted node will have version equal one and PROXYSQL node do not accept configuration from a node with version equal one, because it is likely to be a node yet not configured or incorrectly configured. Basically, it prevents a new or not validated configuration to become the source of truth. On the other hand, a node with version equal one knows that itself is likely the node with incorrect configuration, even if this epoch is newer. It will then sync from the rest of the cluster, so not to the rest of the cluster, but from the rest of the cluster. Because version equal one has a special meaning, this also means that if all the nodes have version equal one during an initial bootstrap, they won't be able to sync. As soon as a load to runtime command is executed on any of the node, the cluster is bootstrapped. Not that this fancy mechanism in case of serious, these are fancy mechanisms in case of serious failure and several or all the nodes are restarted. This is basically by design. Also, pay special attention to the fact that every timestamp is in second. If you configure too fast synchronization, it is possible with PropSQL cluster try to synchronize while configuration is still changing. This means that too fast synchronization can lead at best to repeated synchronization or at worst to conflicting configuration that won't be able to solve automatically. Now, let's have a bit of view of poor design pattern that we have saw in the past. So in the past we witnessed some poor design pattern in which PropSQL cluster doesn't work. In the previous slide, I already mentioned that things can go quite wrong if synchronization is configured to be too fast. Please allow 2 or 3 seconds before synchronization. By default, it's 3 seconds. We also saw a situation in which multiple PropSQL cluster instances were being configured at the same time with conflicting configuration. This can lead PropSQL cluster to enter a state in which it's not able to automatically resolve conflict. Please note that PropSQL cluster support identical configuration applied to multiple instances at the same time or in a short period of time. So you can easily combine PropSQL cluster with configuration management tool, but if the configuration is conflicting, PropSQL cluster cannot auto-resolve the conflict. Another interesting poor design we saw is the configuration of all PropSQL cluster nodes with the same DNS name. Why this is basically a very bad design? This was a very poor design because you can easily end up in a situation in which an instance is connected to another instance. It detects a new configuration. It then opens a new connection to put the configuration, but because it relies on memory resolution, it was instead connecting to a different instance and pulling the wrong configuration. We have seen case in which this could also lead to configuration where the configuration being rolled back because it was detecting a new configuration in a node, but pulling the old configuration from a different node and advertising it as an even newer configuration. So basically, the end result was that the configuration was being rolled back. In the next release of PropSQL, we already prevent this to happen because it checked the configuration before applying it. And if it is not what expected, it simply skips the reconfiguration and goes back to checking the rest of the cluster. Still, even if we are able to prevent this, please do not use a single DNS name for all the cluster. Now, similar to the DNS horror story, we had also horror stories with several PropSQL instances configured behind the load balancer. Configuration was being checked on one instance, then was being pulled from another instance, just because they were all behind the same load balancer. Also, this is prevented in next PropSQL release, but please do not use multiple PropSQL instances behind a load balancer. It completely defeats the purpose of using PropSQL cluster. PropSQL cluster was not able to synchronize variables up to version 2.1.0. This limitation was technical. We could add new variables at any minimum release of PropSQL, and therefore two instances with a different number of variables were never able to generate the same checksum. And so they will never be able to synchronize, and they could enter a never-ending attempt to synchronize. In version 2.1.0, we finalized this problem in a very simple way. During the initial handshake, PropSQL instances advertise their version. If the versions do not match, they will drop the connection. The fact this means that only PropSQL instances of the same version can be part of one cluster. But this also creates a new interesting problem. What if we want to run multiple PropSQL instances on the same server? Maybe both listening on the same port for the MySQL listener, but on different port for the admin listener. What if instead we want to specify the IP address in the listener and the IP address itself is specific to the instance where PropSQL is going to run? So for this reason, we add a new variable named cluster sync interface. If false, the admin and MySQL variables related to listener interface are not synchronized via PropSQL cluster. Note that this variable is a global variable configured only in PropSQL.cnf because it cannot be part of variable synchronized by cluster itself. So far, we saw two classes of topology, a single source of truth and multiple instances pulling the configuration from it, and a full mesh topology. In reality, the most common topology is a setup in which few nodes monitor each other and all the other nodes only monitor the previous mentioned few nodes, as displayed in this diagram. Or in this diagram. Okay, I'm sorry, I'm very bad at diagrams, so forget about all those little proxy SQL instances that you see, and let's try to conceptualize it. In short, we basically have two groups of instances that can be seen as two layers. You can have a core layer where few proxy SQL instances monitor each other, for example, three or four. And the satellite layer where a large number of proxy SQL instances monitor the proxy SQL instance in the core layer. This setup can scale very well to thousands of nodes. A very important hint here, traffic should only be served by the satellite node, while core instance should not serve traffic and only focus on the configuration. An important thing to remember here is that if a node in the satellite is manually modified, it becomes also out of sync with the rest of the cluster, unless the core push a new configuration. In a setup like this, the instance in the satellite layer know about the instance in the core layer, but what the core layer knows about the node in the satellite layer. Until 2.3.2, that is the latest release, the answer is very simple, nothing. The core node know nothing about the outer the outer proxy. In the next release, that the code is already available, not only the satellite knows about the core nodes, but they will also generate a UID that is saved to disk so it becomes persistent in case of restart, and they will advertise it to each node they connect to. In this way, the core nodes will know about the satellite nodes as well. As usual, information are visible in a table, and this table is called the Stat Proxy SQL Server Client Status. For each Proxy SQL instance that is currently connected or it was connected in the past, the instance know the UID of the node from which IP port it was connected, that is very useful for debugging, but also the configured admin MySQL interface of that specific node. In this way, if we want to connect back to that proxy SQL instance, we know how to. Finally, we record when was the last time we have seen that node. This is the last time it sent a query, no matter if it was for public configuration, for registering, or for simply pulling the checksums. Next, at the beginning of the session, I was mentioning that native proxy SQL cluster has some benefit that other configuration management tools do not have. Specifically, the ability of the node to automatically register when they connect to a node allow more flexibility and further features to be implemented. Because core node become aware of satellite node, they can be aware on how the cluster is growing, and we can implement several tools that connect and monitor those instances, retrieves log, performs various type of troubleshooting, etc. For example, if the core node become aware of every new satellite node, we can automatically register such node into Prometheus and monitor it, or even directly connect it to the Prometheus exporter and collect the statistic in real time, so without Prometheus. Finally, our next web UI will be able to automatically connect to a remote instance for troubleshooting and display metrics without the need of Prometheus. Now, quick notes about leader election. As I was mentioning, in the current implementation of Proxy SQL Cluster, we do not rely on leader election. Unless conflicting configurations are pushed at the same time to more than one node, the lack of a leader election is not a problem. That says, the implementation of leader election is probably not complex to execute, as Proxy SQL has already built in a series of features that will make the implementation simpler. In fact, it is already possible to configure admin to be in read-write or read-only mode, thus accepting or rejecting write, that means new configuration. Admin can already reply to read-only monitor check, thus admin can already describe itself as a server in read-write or in read-only mode. And using read-only monitor, we can create host group in a replication host group where the leader is in the writer host group while the followers are in the reader host group. What that means is that we can implement a system in which you can connect to any Proxy SQL instance and requests are automatically forwarded to the leader. Finally, I want to thank you all for attending the session at Potsdam, and I invite you to visit our website for further information, to join our mailing list for any question, to find us on GitHub for issue or simply to get update about the development, and to follow us on Twitter. Thank you.